This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Gracious God, the challenge your Son presents to us can seem overwhelming. Help us to put our hope, our trust in you, so that you can do within us that which we cannot do ourselves. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Good morning. Whenever I hear or read this gospel, I feel like I almost need to apologize to any newcomers who might be in the church on this particular day. But when I reconsider that thought and sort of put it into perspective of the whole gospel, I think, well, maybe it's exactly what we ought to be telling folks when they come to join or consider joining a church. But can you imagine? We have those cute little welcome bags where we put little gifts in it for a person who's here for the first time, and little materials about the church and this program and that program. I think there's even a little candy cane in there or something like that. Well, what if we just threw all that out and we just took this gospel and put it in there? Don't think it would appeal to that many people, do you? Come join St. Joseph's Episcopal Church, where we hate fathers and mothers, brothers and sisters. We hate life itself. We give up all our possessions here. Wouldn't you like to join us? Want to sign up? It's a hard message we hear today, isn't it? Hard message. But it is the gospel. And there's a part of me that I say, Jesus, thank you for once in a while reminding me and reminding everybody that signing up for this Christian discipleship thing is not easy. There's a lot of other approaches to life that we could choose that would be a lot more comfortable, a lot less challenging, but I guarantee you, a lot less rewarding as well. Every gospel we hear, there's always a challenge Jesus gives us, but there's a corresponding comfort that he gives us as well. Well, today's just a little bit heavy on the challenge part. But I think it's good for us to hear that once in a while, because let's face it, if you're out there like I am trying to live this thing, it is not easy. And it's a little bit consoling to hear Jesus saying, I never said this was going to be easy. Here we are in this section of Luke's gospel. Jesus has set his face towards Jerusalem. He knows where he's going. He knows what's going to happen to him when he gets to Jerusalem. And so he's not pulling any punches. Luke tells us, large crowds are following him. He's got groupies. He's got curiosity seekers. He's got people who are waiting for the next miracle so they can tell their friends, I was there, I saw it. And Jesus is, in a sense here, weeding out the wannabes, saying, look, if you really want to follow me, it's not about just coming to church and hearing and singing some nice songs and clapping our hands. It's about trying to live this out day by day, and it's not easy. But the rewards are incredible. You know, this gospel, when Jesus is out there doing his thing, can you imagine what he's thinking about and experiencing? Can you imagine knowing that all of the 12 men, save one whom you have chosen, is going to die for their faith? Think of Bartholomew. He was flayed alive. They just start cutting skin off till you're dead. One of them was beheaded. One of them was beaten to death and then beheaded. One of them, they took Thomas and they just take a sword and punch it through him until he's dead. Peter crucified upside down. Andrew crucified on that sideways cross. Jesus knew all this was coming. So there is this sense of this gospel that is so crucial, so important, that he is able to bring it to all of us to understand. Now, I don't think for most of us, I don't think probably for any of us, our life is physically going to be threatened for trying to live the Christian life. Believe it or not, there are more people in the world who have died in this century for their belief in Jesus than all the other centuries combined. So appreciate the freedom of religion that we have in this land. But, you know, I'm wearing the stole today that 3 years ago when we had this particular reading, we had Bishop Todd and Patsy McGregor here, missionaries in Madagascar. They gave us the stole. It's got the map of Madagascar on it. Those are the only two people in my entire life that I really have a relationship with, that I know on a daily basis, put their life physically on the line for the gospel. There are groups of people over there who will kill you for your belief in Jesus. But they do it every day. But I don't think we're going to face that. So you're probably saying then, what does this gospel have to do with us? Well, it has a lot to do with us, because I think it is harder for us than it is in some ways for those martyrs and apostles who gave their life. Because if you can imagine, if somebody came before any of us today and said, you believe in Jesus? Well, deny Jesus as your Lord and Savior, or I'm going to shoot you. That's pretty black and white. It's one point in time, it's one decision, and that's it. The challenge we have is that every day when you put your 2 feet on the floor, every decision we make, every word we choose to say, every word we choose not to say and the way we say it, every decision we make, every action we do or don't do, guess what? We have to make that decision that Jesus is going to be the priority. That's not easy. Jesus uses these expressions today about family, about mother, father, wife, brother, sister, life itself, possessions. He's choosing all of those things that we would consider the most near and dear to us. Those things that we would be most tempted to put ahead of him. And that's the whole point. God has got to be number one. Sound familiar? We've been hearing this theme in these readings for several weeks now. Because if God is not the priority, God is not a priority. It becomes the worldview from which we make decisions. Every decision. And so as a result, that challenge is out there for us. So let's talk a little bit about this challenge. He says, hate. Now, that can be a very confusing thing when we think about that word hate in our language. I had one of the school kids some years ago come up to me and say, Father Marty, I'm a good Christian because I hate my little sister. That's not what Jesus had in mind. He uses hate in the Aramaic and Greek sense of this word that is not the feeling sense that we have of it. It's a very emotional word when we use that. But in that language, it means a deprioritization. Meaning, family cannot be more important than me. Now, that can be a very good thing for families. If a father has God as the number one priority in his life, he's going to be pretty faithful to his wife and family. If a mother has God number one in her life, she is going to be darn sure that she is taking good care and good stewardship of her children as well. If a teenager has God as number one in your life, all the decisions that you are making and the people you're going to hang around with and the things you're going to do and not do, God is going to be right there in the middle of that decision. It's a good thing. Jesus doesn't tell us these things because he wants us to suffer, because he doesn't want us to be happy or joy-filled. He tells us these things because unless you do that, you can't have the fullness of what I want you to experience. That's it in a nutshell. That is it in a nutshell. You know, in our church, we have a book. It's called Lesser Feasts and Fasts. And it has all of the prayers and celebrations we have for all the saints that we celebrate in our church. And in that Red Book of Common Prayer that's in the pews, they list them all in the calendar. That is, those that existed up to when that book was printed in 1979. We've added some since then. So they periodically redo this Lesser Feasts and Fast book. You see how thick it is? Well, this past year, they came out with a new one. And they went and they put all of the saints that we have been adding over time. So now all of the saints that we celebrate are in this book. Look how much more thick this new book is than the old one. It's over twice as thick. This one's now called Holy Women, Holy Men. Now, I mention this because I think it's directly related to our gospel story today and the lesson today, because I start looking through this and I am amazed. There are so many of these saints, I never heard of these people. But it's fascinating because each and every one's life story is incredible, what they did for the sake of the gospel. They counted the cost and they chose to continue to follow Christ. Some of them, having like the apostles and disciples, had to deal with physical death, but others in very many different ways, having to deprioritize a lot of other things to let God be number one. Just this past week, on September 2nd, we celebrated the Feast of the Martyrs of New Guinea. Ever heard of them? The Martyrs of New Guinea were a group of people on that huge island that's northeast of Australia who had been sent there by the Anglican bishop to help the people of that area. In 1942, in the middle of World War II, the Japanese come. And the bishop knows that they're coming, and he says to his missionaries, "This is not for us to have fear and flee, like the apostles did with Jesus in the garden." He says, "This is the time for us to stay and make a difference in the lives of these people." And so these missionaries stayed. They were helping those who had been injured. They were harboring those, if the Japanese caught them, would kill them. And in turn, what happens is all of these missionaries are killed, beheaded by the Japanese. They made a decision, and they lived it out. We celebrated on September 3rd the Feast of Prudence Crandall. You ever heard of Prudence? If you're from Connecticut, you probably know her, because she is known as the state heroine now of Connecticut. A woman who started a school and got the crazy idea in the 1800s that maybe it would be right for us to invite African-American girls to come to our school to get a good education. Do you know they passed a law called the Black Law that she ended up being thrown in jail for offering school and education to black women? Eventually, it's overturned. She gets out of jail, but then the death threats start to come. They threaten to burn down the school and all this stuff. You think she didn't have to count the cost? But now, in this day and age, she's considered a saint. She's considered the state heroine of Connecticut. Paul Jones, September 4th, Bishop of Utah in the Episcopal Church. He's a pacifist. We start coming up to World War I. He feels the call of God that he needs to speak out for peace. You know what we did? We made the guy resign from being a bishop. Now, leave it to the Episcopal Church to throw somebody out as a bishop and then make them a saint after they die. Says something good about our church, I think, that we can reconsider actions that we've taken. But the good news is, Paul Jones, he felt he had a cost he had to pay. Everything he strived for in his ministry, he's going to lose, but he knew that this was a voice that needed to be heard. He continued to speak up for peace and justice throughout his life. These are only three. Look at all these. And you know what? Every single one that I have ever read, don't you think that if this idea of the cost of discipleship, if it didn't work, don't you think at least one of these people on their deathbed would say, "Hey guys, don't do it. It's not worth it." You won't find one example in the entire salvation history of a person who has chosen this and hasn't found that the reward infinitely exceeds the cost. That's why Jesus tells us those tough words today. Today in our church, we were celebrating at the previous service Favorite Hymn Sunday. We sang everything. Well, you know, there's one hymn, and perhaps you are familiar with it, and it's written by a man of Horatio Stafford is his name. He was a wealthy man in Chicago, had lots of real estate. Well, there was that thing in the 1800s in Chicago called the Great Chicago Fire. He lost everything, everything. In the wake of all this, he and his wife had a little boy who died unexpectedly. They lost their son. In the wake of all that, he decides that he wants to take his family, he's got a wife and four girls who survive, to Europe just to sort of get away and start over. For some reason, he can't get on the ship with them. The ship leaves. He gets a telegram a couple weeks later from his wife. The ship hit another ship. It sank. All four of their daughters died. All that's left is his wife. In the wake of all this, a man who had understood that God had to be number one, and regardless of what happened in life, he could go on, that God would be with him. That is where that wonderful hymn comes down to us. It is well with my soul. No matter what happens, God is there. It is well with my soul. The cost is great. Nobody said this would be easy, but the rewards are incredible. May it continue to be well with all of our souls. Let's take that to our prayer.